Blog Talk Radio.
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. May Allah bless each and every one of you, and we appreciate you so much for joining us today. I am Muhammad Khatib. I'm the Sheikh here in Los Angeles, California. We're going to be conducting the Jummah today. And once again, welcome. We need to call the second adhan, and we'll get started in just a moment, inshallah. Alhamdulillah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya salat. Hayya al-Salah, Hayya al-Falah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله أحمده واستعينه واستهديه واستغفره وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. In the translation, brothers and sisters, I said, I seek refuge with Allah against Satan, the rejected enemy, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. We praise Allah, we seek His aid, His guidance, and His forgiveness. Bear witness openly that there is nothing and no one worthy of worship except Allah, the one and only. He has no partners. Now bear witness that Muhammad is His servant and His messenger. Muhammad, to whom the Holy Quran was revealed, is His servant and His messenger. And whatever of good that goes along with the greeting, we ask Allah to accept this dua from us and this opening. All praise and thanks are due to Allah, the Most High, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. He has no partners. He is the one that we worship and that we give our whole allegiance to, that we give our attention to, that we give our whole obedience to. We thank Allah for guiding us and helping us, for saving us, for creating us. Allah created us, and He has sustained us all this time. In our creation, He gave us everything that He willed to give us, everything that is necessary for us to function and to operate, live exactly the way that we are made to function. We thank Allah for helping us and for saving us. We thank Allah for giving us a mind that can comprehend, that can understand. We thank Allah for giving us knowledge. We thank Allah for giving us common sense. We thank Allah for giving us a mental structure that can adapt to so many, just uncountable types of situations. We appreciate all of what Allah does for us. And we worship Allah. He is the creator of everything. All the things we like and all the things we don't like, Allah is the creator of those things. Everything you can think of, there is not a thought you can think of, there is not a thing that exists. And Allah says in the Holy Quran, there is not a bird that flies. There is not a thing that exists. There is not a rock that is hard or exists. No water flows. No air exists. No substance, solid, liquid, or gas exists except by Allah's permission and by the fact that He created them. Allah says in the Holy Quran, if He stopped sustaining things, they would cease to function. If He were to withhold His sustenance, if He were to withhold His power, everything would cease to function. And that is a verse in the Holy Quran, brothers and sisters, the very word of Allah. Allah's own words to us, He gives us to sustain us, to inform us, to educate us, to guide us, so that we will have knowledge and so that we will not be lost or ignorant or astray. Allah gives us everything that we need to function. He is called, one of His names is Rabb, Ar-Rabb, Rabbil Alameen, the Lord, the cherisher and sustainer of all that exists, of all of the systems, of all that exists. Every particle that exists, Allah created it. Allah knows everything. He knows its time, its place. Allah knows everything that exists. Allah knows the future. He knows the past. He knows the present. And He is intimately, He is a Lord over everything. He is the creator over everything. There's a dua that the Prophet, peace be upon him, taught us. And he said you should praise Allah, and that you should say Subhanallah, highly glorified Allah is Allah. You should praise Him. And you should praise Him by everything that He has created, by the number of things that He has created. Brothers and sisters, it's mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling when you look around and you can pick out any article, any item, any particle, and think about it for a moment, and think about how many, sometimes millions and billions and trillions of parts there are to it. Parts you can see and parts you can't see. The atoms and the subatomic particles that are involved in everything. Allah says to worship Him by the number of things He has made. It's mind-boggling. Allah says we should worship Him by the size or dimension of His soul. Allah created the whole creation. We still, as human beings, make machines that fly out into the unknown reaches of space. We've got machines out there that we'll never see again. We have no way of returning them, just to launch them, only to launch them. We don't have a way of returning them. But they went all out in space, and they're gone, 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 gone. And they'll be traveling forever because Allah is greater than anything He has made. And if He has made space, and we can't even measure the dimensions of even inner space, we certainly can't measure the dimensions of outer space, of the far reaches of outer space. But Allah is greater than that. Allah is bigger even than that, because He created the outer space and beyond. The Prophet, the prayers, the peace be upon him, said we should worship Allah by the weight of His throne. By the weight of His throne. We don't know the weight of Allah's throne, but we know His authority. And throne is symbolic of authority. You know, they say the seat of authority is with the king. The seat of authority is in such and such a city. Worship Allah by the dimensions or the weight of His throne. We cannot know Allah's authority. And Allah is Al-Aziz. He is so mighty, and He's unmeasurable or immeasurable. You cannot measure Allah, Al-Aziz, immeasurable. Don't waste your time trying to measure Allah. You can't even really measure your own self. We have parts of our own selves that if something happened to it, we can't fix it. Take someone with super special knowledge, like a great physician, a great doctor, and he can only go so far. He gets so far, and he says, this is as far as my learning has taken me. And they're still discovering things about everything. And here we are saying that we want to know about the dimensions of Allah. It's impossible, brothers and sisters. As I said before, it's mind-boggling. And we worship Allah by the words that can be written about Allah. It said, Subhanallah wa bihamdi adada khalqihi wa bida nafsihi wa zanata arshihi. By the dimensions of his soul, by the weight of his throne, by the number of things that can be written about Allah, by the number of things he has created. So the last part of that hadith by Prophet, from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these hadith means speech or words. It says, wadada kalimatihi, by the number of words that can be written about Allah's creation or about Allah. Allah says about the, even the, some of the dimensions of the earth, it says that if all of the oceans were ink and all of the trees all over the world, I mean, if you just look out your window right now or just think in your mind how you travel sometimes along the highway and you see the trees, or you watch a program and you see how someone's lost in the woods or the forest. Allah says if you were to take the vast number of trees, the trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of trees that are on the earth, and if you were to take if you had ink the size of the oceans of the earth, and you hear the people and the poets talk about the seven seas, if you were to take the great oceans and all of the water on the earth, and you were to try to write out, if the trees were pens and the oceans were ink, and you would try to write out the words about Allah, said you would not be able to number the words. You would not be able to do it. So brothers and sisters, let us realize who it is that we're worshiping. We're worshiping Allah. And Allah is, he is just awesome. Allah is the greatest. That's why we say Allahu Akbar. He's greater than anything. And most of the time, we're just talking about some little thing that's bothering us. We say Allahu Akbar. Allah is greater than this. He's greater than even sometimes a big thing is bothering us, a war or whatever, or some big test. And we say, Allahu Akbar, oh Allah, show me that you're greater. Show me that you got more power than this thing that's opposing me, this thing that's bothering me, this thing that's defeating me and fighting me and being an obstacle in my life. Well, indeed, Allah is greater. He's greater than anything or anyone. And whether we live or whether that situation or war or whatever it is costs us our life, Allah is still greater. We have to see ourselves as beings who have the capacity to be beyond the things that bother us in the life of this world, only with the help of Allah, only with the permission of Allah, only by the grace of Allah, only by the power of Allah. And so today we wanted to talk about how blessed we are and how Allah helps us so much by his powers, and how we're blessed with Allah's word, and how Allah's word, the Holy Quran, gives us so much power and gives us so many freedoms. And we want to talk about the virtues of the Holy Quran and talk about the rewards that we get from the Holy Quran. And granted, this is a big, big, big item that I've mentioned here today and what we're talking about, but we just want to try to touch on it. We want to touch on it because speaking Allah's words or speaking words about this way of life is sustenance. It's help for us. It's something that makes us last. It's nourishment. It's provisions. It's, and Allah, one of his attributes we know is Al-Razak. He is the best to provide, or the only provider, the true provider of everything. So using Allah's words or living Allah's words in the Holy Quran gives us powers and freedoms and virtues and rewards that come straight from Allah that help us make it through a period of time. Helps us make it through a situation. Life itself is a situation. Some of us may live 50 years, 70 years, 100 years, 110 years. I think the oldest person that just passed away recently, they say, is about 120 years old. Alhamdulillah. Well, we want Allah to bless us with strength and power so we can function those years. And we won't have to just spend the last 20 years of our life laying up in the bed. We want power. You know, the quality of life is much more important than the quantity of life. Some people live a long time. You know, quality means the substance of it, the value of it, the strength of it, the worth of it, substance. That's their quality. And quantity means the amount or how long, the amount of years you lived or days you lived or whatever. We want high quality life. Being a believer in Allah, being a Muslim, being a believer in Allah guarantees you the highest quality life. Allah said He made you for the highest quality life. He said that He has made you so that you could actually become one of the vicegerents or part of the group of people called the vicegerents or the caretakers of the rest of the creation. That the rest of creation can look at you and see your worth, see your value, see your importance, get help from you, get guidance from you. Allah says in the Holy Quran, "Huwa alladhi ja'alakum khalifa al-ard," that He is the one. Don't hang up. We got a caller coming in now. Another caller. That He is the one. Allah is the one who cherishes and sustains you, and Allah is the one who adds quality and value and strength and power to your life. He is a cherisher and sustainer of everything. He is a cherisher and sustainer of all. So we want to live a long time, but we want high quality life. We want high quality life, and the believer will have the highest quality life. And Allah has made you so that you would be recognized as one of those people who carry the highest quality life. That is the Muslim believer. And when I say believer, I mean that you're not just seen as one who is known to be a believer or known to be a Muslim, known to be doing Islamic acts or quality acts or showing that you have knowledge that you know how to obey Allah and do the things you're supposed to do, to believe in Allah, to make your prayers, to give in charity, to fast in the Ramadan, and to go on the Hajj. You know about those things. But I mean, deep inside you, you have to maintenance your belief system. You have to make sure that you practice having strong faith, faith that will not just give up in the face of some bad situation or some big test. Allah says in the Quran that He will test us with some loss in things. We will lose our wealth. We will lose our strength. We will lose loved ones. We will lose our situation. We will be tested by the evils and the prejudices and the politics of the environment that we live in or society that we live in. We are not to give up because we get hit with something real hard. Allah says we want the test to hit the wrongdoers, but then when some test hits us, we say, where this coming from? Whence is this? Where this coming from? How come I'm being tested? I believe in Allah. I shouldn't receive no hurt. Well, it doesn't really work like that. You will receive far less hurt than the unbelievers normally. Because, you know, you got knowledge, you watch out, you get the guidance of Allah, you get help of angels, you're particular about who you run with, you're particular about how you think, what you say, what you do. So you have a higher quality life anyway. But Allah says He's going to test all of us. Some loss in gain, some loss in loved ones, some loss in your own life. Some loss in wealth, some loss in something you worked for a long time. And an earthquake comes and collapses it. Something you work on for a long time. And then the person that you try to cultivate or make into a great person in the society dies. Allah is Most High, and He does exactly what He wants to do. But the wrongdoers,
they will suffer losses, and they won't even have anyone to call on because they've been living with Shaitan. So they won't have anyone to call on for help. So count yourself as a believer. Count yourself as one who is quite fortunate. And Allah says whether you die in this world, whether you live in this world and get your reward, or whether you die in this world, you will be rewarded in the hereafter. So whether you get your reward or not in this world, you will get your reward in the hereafter if you are true in faith. We have to keep that in mind. And Allah says of those who have died, the believers who have died, He said that they're just happy that you, at least, are still holding on to the faith. That's what the verse means in so many words that's in the Holy Quran. And Allah says that the believers have prayed for you, and they pray for you, and those who have gone on, they pray for you. They're in the hereafter praying for you, and angels are praying for you all the time, brothers and sisters. So don't ever give up. Allah says those who give up and then destroy themselves, He said He will punish you. That means that Allah has given us a mind that really there's no reason for a human being to destroy themselves or commit suicide. Allah is telling us in the Holy Quran that if you destroy yourself, He will punish you. He will punish you. So we actually have a built-in capacity within us to withstand all of what's going on in the life of this world. Let us thank Allah for that ability. Let us thank Allah for that beautiful help that He gave to us in the fact that He wants us to be able to suffer anything that's going on in our lives, to put up with anything that's going on in our lives. And Allah said He rewards you for everything that happens to you. He said not even a thorn can prick your finger except that He's going to give you a great reward. That's right, brothers and sisters. And He is with you wherever you are. Allah sees and hears everything. He knows everything. When you say Allah, and this is part of our belief system, when you say Allahu Akbar, oh Allah, guide me, realize that Allah hears you. He says in the Quran, there's not a word spoken in the heavens or the earth. There's not a word spoken in the heavens or on earth, but He hears and sees everything. Alhamdulillah. So we are very fortunate, brothers and sisters. As-salamu alaykum. We are very fortunate to be those who count themselves as believers. But as I say, you have to maintenance your faith. Keep believing in Allah no matter what happens. Keep believing in Allah. Keep praying to Allah. Keep making your dhikr. Every time you say Subhanallah, you get rewards more than what you gave. Allah said in the Quran, if any does a good deed, he is rewarded or she is rewarded more than what they did. These are verses in the Quran, words of hope, words that you should use on yourself all the time. When you say Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam said that these are the words of the of seeds. These are the seeds of paradise. And he said to say there's no might and power except with Allah, La hawla wa la quwata illa billah. La hawla wa la quwata illa billah. La hawla wa la quwata illa billah. That there's no might and power except with Allah. He said that these are the seeds of paradise. In the hereafter, you will find that there are growths or trees that have come up as a result of the seeds that you planted in the life of this world ahead waiting for you. Yes. Allah says you will get your full reward in the hereafter, not in the life of this world. But you need to understand as a believer that everything you do, every intention, good intention you make, every word of prayer and praise that you send forth for Allah or to Allah, that you offer to Allah, you're sending forth goodness for your life to come. You're sending forth goodness for your life to come, and you're guaranteeing the strength and the help, the virtues. You're guaranteeing the quality of the life you're living right now. Quality life. the believer has to constantly maintenance his life. This is some of the power and some of the powers that we're talking about that you learn from the Holy Quran. The Holy Quran is Allah's own words. The book that you have at your home, or the lessons that you've learned, the verses you've learned from the Holy Quran, these are actually Allah's own words to you, the human being. The Quran was sent to the whole world, so it was sent to you too. Prophet Muhammad is called a mercy to all the world, and his miracle is the Holy Quran. He was sent with a word that is to reach every single one of us. So any Muslim that tells you don't give a non-Muslim a Quran or a translation, you should tell them, then you're saying that Prophet Muhammad's words should not have come to me? Are you saying that? Because many Muslims, somewhere along the line, many Muslims have been, I feel, led astray by creating a mentality or a atmosphere or actual practice of exclusivism and exclusivity, I think is the right way to say it. And they're saying, you're not a believer. What does Allah say about that kind of talk in the Holy Quran? He says, don't ever tell nobody that they are not a believer. He says, because at one time you were like that. Do you know at one time even Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him, was not a Muslim? He was not a prophet? He was not the messenger of Allah? He didn't become that until Allah sent Jibril, the archangel, the angel Gabriel, world calls him Gabriel, peace be upon him, with the message. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaqa al-insana min alaq. Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram alladhi 'allama bil-qalam 'allama al-insana ma lam ya'lam. Read in the name of your Lord who created man out of a mere clot of congealed blood. Read in your Lord is most bountiful, he who taught the use of the pen, taught man that which he knew not. That included Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him. And then when he began to get that revelation, he was scared. He was doubtful. He was worried that this was something that was a product of his own mind. He thought it was insanity. He thought he was going crazy, brothers and sisters. So any Muslim, you tell him to check with me. Any Muslim who tells you don't give a Quran or a Holy Quran to a non-Muslim, they are incorrect. If you read the verses of the Holy Quran, you will see that this book is to be spread out, this message is to be taken out to the world without discrimination. Look how the devil tricked the world. Don't give that Quran to nobody. Of course the devil doesn't want you to give the Quran to anybody. Because it'll show him up as a devil and it'll show you who Allah really is. It'll show you your salvation. So today we're talking about the powers of the Holy Quran, Allah's own word. The Quran connects you directly with Allah. Whether you think so or not, whether you think you're good enough to receive it or not, whether you think you are worthy of it or not, whether you think it's supposed to be sent to you or not, the Holy Quran connects you directly with Allah through his own words. You already know that. But we're talking about you needing the strength of belief. You have to keep your faith where it's supposed to be all the time. Connected directly with Allah through his word. That connection is so powerful, is so strong, that it will pull you up out of the just the dead earth situation, the potential. It'll pull you up out of just your potential to be better into being better. Yes. Allah says there's seven earths, seven heavens, seven hells. You know, stages or levels or gates or states. Man was made out of the earth. That's the earth level. But for all intents and purposes,
the earth level, the earth was dead until Allah put his mind into that earth called Adam. Our father Adam. The being who came alive with divine knowledge, through divine knowledge, who became so dignified so fast and so immediately and so dignified, so high, so blessed, that Allah said, they told the angels, you have to bow down to this earth once I put my knowledge or spirit, knowledge and spirit into it. And they all bowed down except Iblis. Iblis was in heaven. He's watching all this. And when Allah said to bow down, he was the only one that refused to bow down. So Allah made him zoom out of heaven, past the earth, into hell. Yes, think about it. And see, part of the problem with Muslims, they don't think with these verses. They don't think. Allah said in the Quran, it's a verse in the Quran. I'm not just saying this. It's a verse in the Quran said part of the problem, man's problem, is that he won't think deeply. He won't think deeply. He won't think, what does that mean? Or is there another way of saying it? You know, like if you look in the words in the dictionary, is there usually only one word to describe the word you're looking up? No. It'll take you in, out, around, above. It'll give you the preposition. What is preposition? We pronounce it preposition, but it's actually preposition. It's position. Preposition. Where are you going to move it at? Where do you want to put it? You want to look at it from up? You want to look at it from down? How about in front? How about in back? How about beneath? How about inside? How about outside? Preposition. So, do we usually look in the dictionary and we only see one word to describe another word? No. Allah's not even like that. Allah says he is Allah, and then he gives you at least 99 names that we know of. 99 names or definitions about Allah, words about Allah, things to think about Allah, in how powerful he is, how almighty he is, how glorious he is, how merciful he is, how unseen he is, but how he can see you, hear you, how he can handle everything, touch everything, affect everything, how he gives love, how he nourishes, cherishes, and sustains everything. Got actual names with capitals on them that describe his powers. So let us be thankful to Allah that he saved us. That connection with Allah is so strong and so powerful, it can pull us up out of the earth, stand us up, make us grow, make us think, pull us up out of the organic mindedness, pull us out of the, what they call, pull us up out of the dunya life, the world's life, pull us up out of the earth, and have us keep looking towards heaven. We call on Allah, we're pulled up to heaven, aren't we? We're all the time being elevated and enriched every time we think about Allah, call on Allah, worship Allah, pray to Allah, do any good deed for Allah. And Allah says he multiplies everything that you do. But Shaitan, he's down in the hill trying to pull you back. Hey, don't pay no attention to Allah. Listen to what I'm talking about. If you follow me, I'll make you such beings that'll live forever and all that. He lies all the time, you know. We don't want to obey Shaitan in any manner. Allah's power is so powerful that if you did obey Shaitan and you fell in the hell and you called on Allah before you died, Allah will pull you up out of a hellish condition. So Allah's command and his power reaches through everything in the heavens and the earth. You say, oh Allah, forgive me my sins. Have mercy upon me. That's what you're praying for, brothers and sisters. You ask him for forgiveness. You ask him for help. You ask him for mercy. You ask him for strength. Allah says in the Quran, you never get tired of asking. That's a verse in the Quran. Man never gets tired of asking for good things. But Allah says he has power to pull you up out of any situation. He says if you have sins as big as the earth, do any of you have sins as big as the earth, brothers and sisters? Prophet Muhammad, the prayers of peace be upon him, said, if you had sins as big as the earth, Allah has forgiveness greater than that. Allah says in the Holy Quran, He is the one who forgives all sins. And we have learned that there's only one sin that Allah will not forgive after it's too late. That's only after it's too late. When you die, if you die as a rejecter, you're going to hell. You got to be punished. You got to. But before you die, if you have enough time to call on Allah in sincerity, see, that sincerity takes time to develop. You don't just go, I forgive, I give up, I was wrong. That's what happened to Pharaoh. He said, oh, I did wrong. I believe in the Lord of Moses and Aaron now. And then a voice came and said, but before, so it's too late now. It's too late. But before, you were an open rejecter. So we don't want to get down and test Allah, say, oh, I'll just keep on with my thing until I know when I'll die. You don't know when you're going to die. I'll change before I get close to dying. You don't know when you're going to die. You could die the next minute, this instant. Let us not take risks, unnecessary risks. And that's an unnecessary risk, to take chances with Allah. The children of Israel used to do that. They would say, oh, we'll have enough time to ask forgiveness for our sins later on. They say things like, Allah is poor, but we are rich. Yeah, they would tell Moses, you and Allah go ahead and fight the evil ones. We'll, and our enemies, we'll sit here and watch. Look how crooked and vain they are. Oh, we are God's chosen ones and His beloved. The next verse, next part of that verse, well, why does He punish you for your sins if you're so important to Him? Why does He punish you for your sins? Oh, we are God's chosen ones and His beloved. Allah says in the Quran, tell everybody, do not declare sanctity for yourselves. Allah is the one who gives sanctity and deliverance and help and forgiveness to whomsoever He pleases. So don't be saying you're God's chosen ones and His beloved. And at the same time, they're murdering and cursing and abusing and becoming an obstacle or being an obstacle for the messengers or the good people. Allah says not only the messengers are guarded and protected and loved and cared about, so are the believers. Allah says if any abuse His messengers and the believers, He will punish them all and He puts a curse on them. If you annoy or drawn to temptation, the believers, Allah says He will curse you and punish you with a mighty punishment. So we don't abuse other Muslims. Allah even talks about, He even says to talk about another believer. It's called a bad sin, backbiting. And it said He equates it to or gives a picture of someone eating the flesh of their relative or eating the flesh of another believer to backbite them. Talk about them behind their back. So guard your tongue. Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him, said, if you guarantee him two things, he would guarantee you paradise by the will of Allah. He said, if you will watch your mouth, you guard your tongue. He said, if you'll give me your tongue. He said, if you will guarantee me your tongue and the private parts, if you will not misuse your tongue or misuse your private parts, he said, I guarantee you, by the will of Allah, paradise. Yes. Paradise. Brothers and sisters, we are quite fortunate to be inside of a way of existence
that is just so beautiful and so fulfilling, so healthy, so good. It don't matter that the world is going crazy. Don't worry about them. It doesn't matter that the world is going crazy and acting crazy. They won't listen. They won't obey. They won't respect. They won't do right. They're constantly bothering you. They're constantly violating you. They're constantly abusing you. Allah says any who misappropriates or takes something that doesn't belong to them, they got to pay it back more than what they took. Shaitan's got a big account, a big debt, don't he? Him and his followers. So don't worry that the world is all out of sync. You have a duty, and you have all the equipment you need to keep that duty. You have a duty to obey Allah, to respect Allah, to love Allah, to work for Allah. In working for Allah, I mentioned to believers I sent out to about 30 or so people, the fact that we are distributing these Qurans. We're putting Allah's word into the hands of the innocent people. That's what we're doing. So we are in the same mission, on the same mission. We have the same mission as Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him, which is to spread Allah's word to the whole world without prejudice and ambiguity. Just give those Qurans to anyone. Ask them, because we don't force ourselves on anybody, do we? No. It says, La ikraha fi deen, that they're let there be no compulsion in religion. La ikraha fi deen. So we're not forcing the Quran on anybody. But we'll ask them, have you ever heard of the Holy Quran? This is the book of the Muslims. Would you like to read it? And you'd be surprised at how many people have heard of the Holy Quran and how many people would like to have a Quran, how many people are related to Muslims, how many people have been to a Muslim meeting, how many people have seen the Quran before, how many people know a verse from the Quran. You'd be surprised at how much people know about the Holy Quran, and they would be happy to get a translation or some verses of the Holy Quran into their hands. And keep in mind, you give someone a Holy Quran, that book may be in their family for generations. When you go to see people at their house, almost all the time, if you in there long enough and you look in certain places on their bookshelf or on their desk, or sometimes it's just laying on the table, on the cocktail table or something, you'll see a Bible over there. And look how little they know about the Bible, or how little they how little they respect the Bible. They mostly disrespect it. And that's the other thing. When we give somebody this translation or we give them a Quran, we ask them to treat this book like it's a sacred book. Don't handle it when you're dirty and filthy. Allah says in the Holy Quran, the only ones who can touch it are those who are clean. And one brother told them to make sure and wash their hands, and I do tell them that. But it's not just talking about their dirty hands. It's talking about don't try to have the Quran or say you are Muslim and you got bad intentions, dirty intentions. You don't intend to straighten up. You don't intend to open up the Quran and read its verses and live by its verses. That's dirty. That's the dirty person. So if they say, I don't want that book, or they say something bad about it, Allah says when they say bad things about the Quran, get away from them. When they start talking bad, get away from them. Unless they turn to a different subject, unless they change the subject. It says if you don't leave them when they disrespect these righteous things, you would be like them. If you don't leave their company, you would be like them. You're encouraging them to stay bad instead of giving them words to change or to get better in their behavior. Allah said in the Holy Quran, he wants us all to be saved. And he said he would save everybody, except you have people who won't stop disputing or arguing about the truth. Yeah, Allah said he could have saved everybody, but you got people that won't accept. So don't force it on them. Say, hey, have you heard about the Holy Quran? Would you like one? Have you seen it before? Oh, yeah, my sister's a Muslim. Be surprised. One brother told me, he said, yeah, my auntie used to make me go to the meetings. My brother's a Muslim, my mother's a Muslim, my cousin, my father's a Muslim. And a lot of times, they are also people who are members of the following of the Muslims before us, under the honorable Elijah Muhammad. And they use the word Muslim all the time, but they didn't know about the Holy Quran in the sense that they were followers of it. They just had their, what they call the lessons, and they were just following what Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, told them is what they should do. And these were not well-educated people, so they didn't need a whole bunch of verses. They only needed a few things to keep them out and pull them out of the bad life that many of them have been living. Keep it real simple. Just be right and exact. Keep it real simple. They say things like, heaven and earth will pass away before my word will fail, because I'm giving you my word, and my word is my bond. How many people live like that now? How many people live like that now? You should be a person who chases after obedience to what you have said in the presence of Allah as something you should do, and you know it's a right thing to do. You should do it as soon as you can, quick, fast, and in a hurry. That way you don't clog your mind with all that procrastination of things that you were supposed to have done and you didn't do them. You don't clog your mind up with that habit of procrastination, dragging your feet until you can't even stand up no more. The next thing you know, you're sliding backwards. They call it backsliding. You don't want that kind of life. That's not life. That's not the life Allah intends for you. Allah intends for you freedom, justice, and equality. That sounds like what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was teaching his people. So he taught them simple things, a few simple things that they needed to follow. But it just so happens that those few simple things that he was teaching them happened to be some of the core beliefs, that there's no God except Allah and Muhammad is his messenger. Those simple words are actually the core beliefs, some of the core beliefs, many of the core beliefs that we know are to be true as Muslims. And right here I want to tell you, with the knowledge that we have now, which is vastly, vastly beyond what the followers of Allah Elijah Muhammad had, that they were calling religious knowledge, the average one of you could lead a whole big community like Elijah Muhammad did, peace be upon him. Yeah, may Allah be pleased with him. He was a great reformer. He was a great citizen of this society, and he did a tremendous, tremendous work as an ancestor. He did tremendous work for the people that you call descendants of Africa or black people. Yes. So we're not going to throw Elijah Muhammad under the bus or anybody else who's helping us. We're not going to throw you or me under the bus. We need to learn to stand up for good people in our community and quit acting crazy. Quit listening to the society that tells you the Muslims are no good. You're going to listen to the lying society? You're going to listen to the lying voices of the media? The known liars? Liars who've been lying for centuries and centuries and centuries, I mean thousands of years. These are the liars. Jesus told them that they were the children of the devil, and that was 2,000 years ago. David didn't like them. That was 3,000 years ago. Moses had a hard time with them because they were constantly doing something they weren't supposed to be doing. This is thousands of years ago. You're going to listen to the liars who are the most prolific and the those who can form a lie so well, so intricately, so complexly, so deeply, so wickedly, and so internationally. These are international liars. They can put a lie into 10 different languages, and it has a similar effect in all these various countries. They can lie and put that lie in Spain. They can put that lie in Italy. They can put that lie, you know, a lot of it generates right out of Italy, because Italy is actually old Rome. I'm going to say it again. Italy is actually Rome. That's why they still call the church Roman Church. Italy is Rome. And the children of Israel that Jesus was talking to 2,000 years ago, they were citizens of Rome. They lived in Rome. Galilee, Jericho, all these different places. These were all provinces of Rome, and the Jews lived there. And they had their own little group or tribe the way that they still do now. Sure, it's grown by then. But they had leadership. The Jewish or children of Israel leadership is the ones that were acting out on Jesus. the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, you know them as that, as those names. But they were the ones who were manipulating and riding on the backs of the good Jews and the backs of the Romans. They always stay near the wealth and the capital of the wealth, the capitals of the wealth. So their lies of media, you know, writing, saying, plays, politics, religion, culture, they have all kind of lies intricately woven into all these important avenues of thinking, spirituality, psychology, you know, medicine. They're all in that because, you know, the psychiatrist is a doctor too. So they know how to manipulate the mind of society, the thinking of society, the words of society, the linguists, the people who write the dictionaries and all and keep up with the language of the people. You know, you read in the dictionary how some languages are 5,000 years old, some languages are 2,000 years old, some languages evolved from other languages, some languages are made up of 5 or 6 or 7 main languages, and this and that thrown in there too. So Jesus was telling them to straighten up and just accept one language. He said that if you know the truth, accept truth that I'm bringing you. He said, I'm not bringing you new truth. He said, I'm actually bringing you the same truth that you were supposed to be following that you inherited from Moses. You're supposed to be actually living, and you say you live Moses' teachings. He said, I'm just here to remind you of that. And they wouldn't listen to Jesus. Peace be upon him. They wouldn't listen to Jesus. They cursed him. They questioned him. They badgered him. They abused him. They disrespected him. And Jesus said, you know what? You all are cursed. He said, you are nothing but children of the devil. And some people might say, well, why do you talk about this almost every week? Because I want to remind you not to follow what this society says is reality. How are you going to have reality when sexual perversion and men going with men and women going with women and doing all those unhygienic things? Stinky booty, all that. How are you going to say that this society is a truthful society when you see it lying, when you see it murdering? More murder, more suicide, more gang banging, more bank swindling, more political wrangling and sneaky swindling, and more abuse of chemicals go on in this society. How can this be a clean society or a truthful society? How can this say it's a Jesus society when it doesn't do what the real Jesus would have it do? No, it does what the children of Israel manufactured as a life for them. The life of sucking the blood out of each other and manipulating each other. A vampire type life, a cannibal type life, a dog eat dog type life. Only the strong survive, brutal, savage, beast type life. That's what you see in this society. And you might not see all the blood splashing all over the place. But the reason you can't figure out how to live a better life is because they're constantly sucking out the goodness and the mental health. They're constantly sucking out the good traditions and giving you bad traditions to live. They say the show must go on, and the show is all about fornication, adultery, nudity, brutality, abuse, fighting, child porn, all kind of crazy stuff. This is the capital of child porn right here in Los Angeles, California. They do it out in the valley and other places around here. So, man, this is going to give me a headache. I'm trying to free your head. You got barbed wire all over. Don't they show the crown of thorns on Jesus' head? What'd it look like? Look like barbed wire, right? They say that's the Jesus. They say they put a crown of thorns on his head. Now, the crown of thorns, we have learned from our great leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with him. He was the son of Elijah Muhammad, but he wasn't following what his father taught. He was following, and he did to some extent, but he was following what the Holy Quran, that's what Allah taught, and that's what we follow. What Allah teaches, that's what we follow. That's part of our power. That's part of our inheritance. That's our connection directly with Allah. if some imam don't tell you to get out there with Allah's word, then you got to go on ahead anyway, because Allah tells you to get out there with his word. Allah tells you to teach his word. Allah tells you to live his word. And the Quran is called imam. So the imam is telling the truth, and that's the Quran. So don't wait on a human being to tell you. He might have just got out of jail a few years ago. He might still have some carryovers from his gang days when he was murdering people in the streets. He still got an urge to hurt somebody. Don't you know there's a lot of criminals in hiding in religion? Yeah, they hide in Christianity. You go to the prison and you see them with tattoos across all on their neck, on their face, crosses all on their arms, Jesus' name all over them, the cross with going through the heart like a big spear, you know, cross straight through the heart. You see them in books and stuff. No, we obey Allah, brothers and sisters, and you've got Allah's full permission to go and multiply the earth and spread goodness and decency. So we're not going to listen to the liars. The liars, Allah said they are cursed for lying and spreading lies and deception in the society. No. And they say, be ye Jews or Christians, if you would be guided aright. Whether we're in France, Germany, Italy, Spain, Portugal, United States, England, South Africa, most of these Denmark, most of these European countries, they're feeding on the same lies given to them by the children of Israel, and it's been translated into their everyday language in their society or in their culture. And they follow this stuff. No matter where the lie is coming from, we're not going to follow them. Allah tells us don't follow them. They say, be ye Jews or Christians if you would be guided rightly. This is what the Quran says. This is what they say, and Allah shows us what they say right in the Quran. They say, be ye Jews or Christians if you would be guided rightly. What does Allah tell us to say? What does Allah tell us to say? No, I would rather the religion of Abraham. He was the sane in faith. No, I would rather the religion of Abraham, and he joined not gods with Allah. He joined not partners with Allah. One of the great things known about Prophet Abraham, or Ibrahim, alayhi salam, peace be upon him, is that he wouldn't take anything as his Lord and Savior except Allah. He only worshiped Allah, and he said, I joined not partners with Allah. That's what Ibrahim said. So, brothers and sisters, we're getting pulled up out of a hellish situation by the strength of Allah's word in the Holy Quran. Allah will pull us from heaven. He will pull us up from heaven through earth, pull us up through the highest levels of earth so that our mind will be in heaven even though our flesh is still alive on the earth. And when we die, we go straight. You know, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said that. He said some people, when they die, because they've been so good in their life, they go straight into paradise like lightning across the bridge. There's a divide, you know. I'm sure it's part of the gate, but it has to be part of the gate because you can't see it. But it says that you go across that bridge so fast, like lightning. That's how fast the believers go into paradise. And the martyrs, those who die doing the cause of Allah, they are so pure that even in this life, we can bury them in the clothes they died in, no matter how much blood and all that guts is on it. Yes, alhamdulillah, and they will get their reward. But what else does Allah say? He said, verily, the ink of the scholar is holier than the blood of the martyr. So if you're a thinking person, if you're a righteous person who studies what Allah has said, and what's the most important thing to study? It's the word of Allah in the Holy Quran. The ink of the scholar, what you copy or write down, Prophet Muhammad said, if you want to learn something, he said, repeat it three times or write it down three times. I forget which one he said, but three times he said, repeat it to yourself, to your mind. Make it obvious to your mind three times to improve your memory. The ink of the scholar is holier than the blood of the martyr. So write it down three times. It ain't going to hurt you. Teaching benefits the believers. That's another verse in the Holy Quran. So Allah's power, he in heaven, Allah who is in heaven, will pull you up. He will sustain you. He will pull you up in, through the levels of earth. And even Allah's reach goes into the hellfire. So if you ask Allah to forgive you and take you out of the hellfire in the life of this world while you're still alive, Allah can pull you up even out of your hellish situation. You might have been a murderer, a mass murderer, and Allah forgive you. Now, I'm not going to say that the society will forgive you, because they usually say, we're fixing to kill you, and may the Lord have mercy on your soul, right? Because your body belongs to us, buddy. Brothers and sisters, we're going to also talk about freedoms. You have full freedom to obey Allah. You have full freedom to obey Allah. You should do it. Don't let anyone stop you from doing what Allah and His messenger has shown you you must do. Prophet Muhammad, the prayer and the peace be upon him, said, if you hold to the book of Allah and my sunnah, his way of living the book of Allah, which means his speech and his behavior, his words and his behavior. We call the words hadith, speech, sayings. If you hold on to the book of Allah and the sunnah, you will never go astray. You will never go astray. You need to know these things. I need to know these things. If we already know these things, we need to be reminded and urged to follow them. Seriously urged to follow them. And we, brothers and sisters, need to sincerely listen and obey and follow what we know is right and what we're urged to do what is right. Our best imams, our best sheikhs are the ones who constantly encourage you to do good deeds. To do good deeds for Allah. Not just give them money or fill up the bucket or fill up or whatever. Everything we do should be something that is prescribed by Prophet Muhammad and by Allah through Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him. And the central thing to do is to make this message. It says it right in the Quran. The messenger is more than one place. It says, Wama ilayna illa balagh al-mubin. Wama ilayna illa balagh al-mubin. What is our duty except to make the message reach? What is our duty except to connect or communicate the pure message? Balagh al-mubin. Mubin means clear. Balagh means makes the reach you with the clear. Wama ilayna illa balagh al-mubin. What is our duty except to make the clear reach you? The clear what? The clear message of Allah. Alhamdulillah. So in our freedom, we worship only Allah. We obey only Allah. If we obey anything other than Allah or anyone other than Allah, we are disrespecting Allah. We are disobeying Allah if we join partners with Allah or respect anything more than we respect Allah. We are disobeying Allah if we take anything as something we should or want to obey. You know, that's another thing. Separate your needs from your wants. A lot of times we see things we want and we just spin on our wants. What you need to do is save your money. What you need to do is save your life. What you need to do is save your situation. Save your good situation so that you won't fail in life. You don't want to see yourself, you know, you got eyes and ears. You don't want to see yourself failing over and over and over and over. 5 years go by, 10 years go by, 20 years go by, and you've seen yourself fail over and over and over again, only because most of us live in our wants. We live in our wants instead of in our needs. Shaitan knows that, so he constantly is appealing to your wants. In every country, he's constantly doing people the same way. Look how these people go insane over a soccer game. They fight and cause riots and cost people their lives trying to win a soccer game or trying to get to a soccer game, arguing over a soccer game, a ball game. They want to play. What does Allah say in the Quran? What is the life of this world but sport and play? Just playing all the time, multiplying in rivalry. Riches, children, bragging over our children, our sons, our daughters.
But best is the home in the hereafter. If you indeed believe, if you're actually a person of faith, and if you're a person of faith, you're going to live in your needs, and you're going to do what you need to do. And what is that going to do? That's going to cool down your passions. That's going to cool down your passions, and when you cool down your passions, you can think rightly. You can see reality, because the red and pink passions aren't driving you crazy. Calm down, slow down, think. Get the truth and reflect on that. Allah says in the Quran that many people are destroyed because they will not reflect. Won't reflect on what? Won't reflect on what's real. Won't reflect on what's true. What is real? Allah says this religion is called Al-Haqqa, the sure reality, the real reality. And Allah is Al-Haqq, which means the truth. The very truth, the real, real. So we need to reflect on what's really real, and then we need to do what's real, even though it might be a challenge. Sometimes it's hard for us to do what's real because we've gotten so used to the flow of play. Play is just so much fun. It makes me laugh. And look how many people sit out on the corners and in the bushes and in the alleys and stuff, and they just laugh all day long. Telling lies and jokes and laughing, laugh so much in that play and that laughter is so much fun that they'll sit in the stinky alley all day long, drinking, using drugs. Look how Shaitan, how many anchors and ropes and rods he's using to hold them down and hold them back and trip them up with. You know, somebody's running, you stick a stick between the leg, flip. Look how many tricks that the Shaitan is using to keep these people in the lowest level of earth, probably a higher level of hell. Yes. And if they don't stop what they're doing, they will stay in that fire. And if they do things in the fire, they'll go down deeper and lower and lower and lower, and pretty soon they'll be down there with the hypocrites, which is called the lowest depths of the fire. That's where the hypocrites live, in the lowest depths of the fire. Those who know better than to do what they're doing, but they keep on doing it. Those who know Allah has said clearly, don't do certain stuff, but they do it as a habit, and they invite others to do that. Isn't that something? So we need imams and sheikhs who can clearly explain this way of life to you and touch you, try to touch you and encourage you to do better than what you've been doing. That's the people you should be listening to. But most of us, if we build a school or we build a masjid or we have some center to meet in, we'll just go there and we'll go home. Imam Muhammad said that's what the church people failed to. They would go, they build church everywhere. It might be three or four churches on one block. And they go to the church, and they go back home, and things remain the same. Because when they go to the church, they give the preacher their money. He got a nice car, nice home, nice family, kids maybe in college or whatever. And you, the poor people, are just out there. Things remain the same. He's not encouraging you to do nothing. He's not encouraging you to do nothing but keep telling yourself and others that Jesus will save you. That he gave his life to save the world. That if you drink his blood and eat his flesh, that you will be close to Jesus and that will get you into heaven. And that he's God's only begotten son and all that is going to save you. And what is that? That is just a doctrine. That's a holding pattern doctrine. That's what I would call it. A holding pattern doctrine. It's your little credential that you fit in with everybody else who thinks like that. And y'all really not going to do anything that the real Jesus did, because you don't know the real Jesus. You're not being taught the real Jesus in your churches. You're just being taught to eat a little flesh, drink a little blood, declare that Jesus will save you if you believe in him, and he's the only begotten son. And the devils of the world just love that. And they continue to harass you, harangue you, destroy you, keep you down, make you misuse your money, misuse your life. You never gain the inner muscles. You never gain the inner strength, the inner muscles to pull your life up and to do better with yourself. And even when you pull yourself up and do better, one little mistake could throw you back down because they worship a so-called God that does not forgive you. He's not forgiving you. He makes you think about your sins over and over again, and he lets Shaitan just eat you up. And you end up basically following the clone life of your slave master, who is up on the wall inside your church. It's supposed to be the Jesus, or kin to the Jesus. The white angels with bird wings on their back. Got holidays that remind you of that. That's what Valentine's Day is, to remind you that heaven is for white people. I'm not talking race or racism when I say that. I'm talking history. This is what their religious artists like Michelangelo and others have drawn for you, is that heaven is about. And it don't show no black people there. And when they draw the pictures of black people, it shows the dark brown devil or black devil with bat wings laying down in the fire and the angel Michael getting ready to slay him. Go to the store and look at the candles. Go to the grocery store, average grocery store, go to the candle section down there by the paper towels and stuff, and turn it around. Or they might be in the Hispanic section because they love images. Turn the candle around and see, don't they have a cartoon and a religious, so-called religious picture that says white is good and in charge and is the controller, the killer, and that black is the scary, bad, dark, burning, hellish creature that should be destroyed. He must have did something. Look at his toes with the claws on his toes and claws on the hands and bat wings and horns on his head. Look at him. He must have did something bad. Wow, that can't be nothing but the devil. This religious false doctrine and falsehood is destroying our people. We need more imams and sheikhs who know these things and who will talk about these things and who will be bold and strong and alive. You need to tell more people about the ones who talk about these things and try to wake you up and keep you awake to the lies in the world. Otherwise, you'll think that everyday life in America, France, Germany, Spain, Portugal, Italy, Denmark, and all that, South Africa, you'll think it's Belgium, you'll think it's all the same, Russia, you'll think that's the real world. And these are the people who are giving you the most hell. In this society, it's the one who calls themselves Christians that are giving the world the most hell. These are the ones that are saying that you're the black devil, that you're the nigger, excuse the expression. These are the ones that are saying that, Jesus doesn't love you. He loves everybody but doesn't love you. How many white races have you said, stop? How many white races have you seen or heard about that say, stop, do not kill this man because Jesus loves him. Do not lynch this man because how many police have you said, oh, stop, don't shoot this man, don't choke this man out in front of his family, kill him in front of his daughter because Jesus loves him. Brothers and sisters, it's time for us to wake all the way up. And it's time for us to, get to down to the nitty gritty, to the real thing, the real substance of life. Al-Islam will save you. Al-Islam forbids you to worship their images. Al-Islam forbids you to worship another race. You are a wrongdoer if you think another race is better than you for any reason. If you think their color is better than you, wrong. If you think they got more knowledge than you, wrong. If you think they got more wealth than you, wrong. The earth belongs to Allah, and he says he'll give it to the meek people. One cataclysmic thing can happen in a society and the whole banking system collapse. You've seen it do it a couple of times, just didn't collapse all the way. One bad leader, a couple of bad leaders can get in charge of the society and the situation of various elements of the society or populations of society will go up and down. Yeah. Under some great generals and presidents, the Indian population was virtually wiped out when they actually multiplied and lived in this land in great numbers earlier in the 1700s, 1600s, 1800s. The buffaloes, there used to be hundreds of millions of buffaloes that the Indians were using to live on,
And one character named Buffalo Bill bragged about he killed over a million of them himself, so that the Indians would have to starve to death. He used to have trains or excursions, sell tickets like Disneyland. And you could ride the train from one end to the other end, shooting buffaloes all day. And they said it, as far as you could see on the plains, it was dotted and smothered, basically, with buffalo carcasses, dead buffalo, where the hides and the meat, none of that would be used.
Yes.
Brothers and sisters, it looks like we're not going to get to all of what we wanted to talk about today, but I'll just briefly mention, I'll go into the second part of the talk first, and then we'll briefly mention the other parts, and then we'll stop. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah. Wa salatu wa salamu ala al-kharm rasaleen Muhammad ibn Abdullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. And in the translation, we said, praise be to Allah. We said, assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. And praise be to Allah. And peace be upon Muhammad, the best of all of the messengers that ever lived, and upon his family and his companions and all of the believers the world over. Ameen. So in the second part of the talk, brothers and sisters, we wanted to talk briefly about the virtues and the rewards of living the Quran, spreading the Quran, knowing the Quran, obeying Allah's word, the Quran. Virtues, we wanted to talk about purity, that the studying the Quran, believing in the Quran, obeying Allah's word in the Holy Quran will increase your purity, will cleanse you. I love that word, cleanse you. Inside, just cleanse you. Cleanse your soul. Cleanse your attitude, your thinking. Purify you. And with this purity will come strength. It will come the ability to see. You will improve in your integrity, in your decency, your honor, your sense of honor, your ability to do what's right, your trustworthiness, your honesty, your decency, your dignity, your accountability, your responsibility. You will increase in these things and improve in these things by cleaning up and blowing away all that fog and smog and dirt and dust and just grime and filth that's inside. The Quran will clean you up. It's the book of purity. Some of those words, we hardly ever hear them anymore. Decency, integrity, honor, trustworthiness, truthfulness, sincerity, cleanliness. They used to say cleanliness was next to godliness. They must not want to be next to God no more, because you don't hear them talking about being clean, honest, sincere, sensible, awake, you know, have a vision or a better view of life, to have sensitivity and mercy. Oh, that's all right, man. That's okay. But not the real mercy where you really say, you know what? That man didn't even mean to do that. It was an accident. I remember when I was little, someone could tell you whether or not somebody else really meant to do something or not, and caution you, get you not to be upset, because they could see clearly that this person didn't mean to be this way or do that thing. He's innocent. How many people think about innocence anymore or forgiveness? Allah tells us in the Quran, do not be hard-hearted. Do not be angry. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you're standing and you're angry, sit down. In other words, change. If you're sitting and you're angry, get angry, lay down. Contain your anger. Control your anger. We just finished Ramadan. And for those of you I haven't spoken to, Ramadan Mubarak and Eid Mubarak, may Allah bless you. I hope you had a wonderful Ramadan experience and Eid experience, where we're supposed to maintenance our happiness and be happy over and over and over again because we fasted. I hope you fasted the 6 days after Ramadan, because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you fast the 6 days after Ramadan during the month of Shawwal, that you will, it's like you're fasting all the time. So even when I'm asleep? Yeah, it's like you fast when you're asleep at night. You want to walk down the street? Yes. No matter what happens? Yes. Allah says, you fast 6 days after Ramadan. He says, it's like you fasting all the time. So imagine that. You put the whole month of Ramadan, and you put 6 more days with it, and the Prophet, peace be upon him, says, it's like you fasting all the time. Every time I think about it, I try to think about it as much as I can. I try to think about it at least a few times a day that, wow, it's like I'm fasting right now. You know, laying in the bed, I wake up, and I say, wow, Allahu Akbar, it's like I'm fasting. So the Prophet said, it's like you're fasting all the time. Brothers and sisters, we have to maintenance our faith. We have to maintenance our belief, because Allah has told us billions and billions of things that will save us in the Quran, the information about heaven, the information about earth, the signs. He says the signs are everywhere. Allah has billions and trillions of things that will appeal to us, but we have to open up our heart and accept these things. We have to open up our heart and believe what Allah has given us to save us with, for us to save ourselves with. Allah says, oh, you believe, save yourselves and your families from a fire whose fuel is men and stones. Save yourselves and your families from the fire. So save yourself, brothers and sisters. Believe in Allah. Believe in His messenger. Believe in His books. Believe in His angels. Believe in His religion. Believe in His signs. Believe in forgiveness and life after death. Believe in reward and punishment. Yes, we have to strengthen our belief. We have to believe until people think we're almost crazy. The Prophet ﷺ said, if they think you crazy because of your faith in Allah and belief in Allah, obedience to Allah, he said, that's good. Alhamdulillah. So we have to have all these wonderful attributes, all these wonderful things. We study the names of Allah and remind ourselves of how we're supposed to be. If we do what Allah says, our virtues will grow. They will increase. We will get better and better and better. We will do things better and better. We will think, number one, think better and better and better. We will reflect on what Allah says. We will have patience. Your patience will grow. Your mercy and forgiveness will increase. Your patience will grow. Some of us are just destroyed. We're not a bad person, but we rush into stuff without thinking about it. We don't have no patience. We don't think before we move. We don't make a good plan before we move. Plan, plan, plan. Follow your needs, not your wants. If you will live in your needs, if you identify your main needs just today, identify your main needs that you need to be doing. And when you get an urge to do something else, just push it to the side. That's going to be salvation for the day. Watch and see. Watch and see. Follow your needs. Just practice that a few days. And watch and see. Don't you become a better thinker. A person who is more calm, a person who suddenly realizes that your mind is valuable and it needs to be, your thinking needs to be exercised, needs to be structured more in a more healthy and in a stronger manner. Your thinking needs to be structured in a stronger manner where you think good thoughts, strong thoughts, useful thoughts. You will be an asset. You will be an asset to all those who come, who are in touch with you. You will be an asset for all those who cooperate with you. They'll cooperate with you because you're going the right way, and you're going the right way. And when they cooperate with you or go the right way with you, they will improve. So you're doing your job as a vicegerent, a caretaker. The rewards, I'll just briefly mention some of the rewards. The rewards are uncountable. That's basically all I need to say about it. Allah says that a believer will have joy in all that they do. The believers will have joy in all that they do. The rewards, you will not be able to count them. Allah says if you were to count up His favors, you would not be able to count them. If you were to count up His favors to you, you would not be able to number them. Things that seem impossible, all of a sudden, they'll begin to open up for you, brothers and sisters. You'll be living a miracle life. Things that used to seem impossible or that someone else tells you is impossible, all of a sudden, they'll begin to open up for you. They'll begin to appear for you. You will see miracles. You will hear miracles. You will think miracles. You will live miracles. You will live a miracle life. Ask some of the brothers. I know a brother that used to be on death row in prison. And Allah blessed him so much so that he got out, went straight to the masjid. He's been a member of the community now for probably 40-something years. And he's also been an imam for about that same amount of time. Because he believed in what Allah did for him. He believed in Allah and thanked Allah for what Allah did for him. He believed in what Allah showed him in the Holy Quran or taught him in this way of life, which Allah gave to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Prophet Muhammad's propagation, peace be upon him, has reached all of us over here. Now we need to reach others with this propagation of the Holy Quran and distributing these Holy Qurans throughout this society. It will make this society better. The Holy Quran made you better. The Holy Quran shaped this religion and it made you better. Prophet Muhammad's guidance and his obedience to the Holy Quran and his guidance shaped this religion, and this religion made you better. It will do the same thing for others. Let us close with a dua. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Inna Allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna 'ala nabi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu 'alayhi wa sallimu taslima. And that means, oh Allah, that means Allah and his angels do salute Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him. Oh, you believe, do you likewise, and give him the greatest of salute. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. Allahumma barak ala Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. Allahumma barak ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala Ibrahim fil alamin innaka Hamidum Majid. Subhanallah. And that means Allah, exalt Muhammad and the family of Muhammad as you did exalt Abraham and the family of Abraham and his followers. And our Lord, bless Muhammad and the family of Muhammad as you did bless Abraham and his family and followers, for surely you are praised and magnified. Rabbana hab lana min azwajina wa dhurriyyatina ajina aj'alna lil-muttaqina imama. Our Lord, give us wives and offspring that will be a comfort to our eyes and grant us the grace to lead the righteous. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhabannar. Our Lord, give us good in this world and good in the hereafter, and save us from the penalty of the hell fire. Ameen. Aqimus salat.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ayyaha la salat, ayyaha la salat. Ayyaha la salat, ayyaha la salat. Wa rahmatu salat, wa rahmatu salat. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah.
La ilaha illallah Muhammadan Rasulullah.
Out. Allahu Akbar. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdina siratal mustaqim. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. الله أكبر. سميع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdina siratal mustaqim. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس مالك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من عجلة والناس الله أكبر سميع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar, 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 Allahu Akbar. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanirrahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdina siratal mustaqim. Siratal ladhina an'amta 'alayhim. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. لا اله الا الله محمد رسول الله. قبل الله من الله اكسبت افريقيا. الحمد لله. How are you doing, my brother? الحمد لله.
As-salamu alaykum, brothers and sisters. We thank Allah over and over again for the blessing of this way of life called Al-Islam. And we thank Allah for blessing us with all of the support that we have from believers around the country. We especially want to let one of our imams, Imam Muhammad, know that we appreciate his help in supplying us with the coverage on the Blog Talk Radio, Amin Muhammad. And he is a real estate man. He is a radio personality, and we appreciate his hard work and his respect for what we're doing in preaching this message and trying to spread this message of Al-Islam around in the Los Angeles area, but across the country too. Also, there are believers on the other side of the country, out of Philadelphia and Georgia, who tune in and they call in. We've got people in Palmdale who call today, Sacramento who call today, and they listen in on the talk, and we are so appreciative. We want to, at this time, give a dua. And we have a sister who sister called me just a moment before the Jumu'ah started and said that her sister is getting ready to go into labor and that her placenta is giving them water out. And so, inshallah, the baby will be born today, Sister Daima. So we wanted to give that greeting to them and make a dua for her and all the people who are sick and shut in and pray that Allah will bless them. Oh, Allah, guide them, have mercy upon them. Give them strength, admit them to the paradise, and give them the strength to get back on their feet from their hospital, and bless our young and our old, newborns, bless all of them to be good Muslims all of their lives and to be of those who spread your message. And to know that if we spread this message, we will be bringing peace and harmony, dignity, decency to the rest of the world. And we also want to pray for those who have passed on, who are in the graves, and we ask Allah to have mercy upon them, forgive them their sins, admit them into paradise, and bless them to be at peace in their grave, and to that there be light in their grave so that they will not be those who are afraid or hindered. So may Allah guide us all and bless us all and all the believers the world over, all of you who are in attendance today and who are on the radio and on the and in the on the lines, that you be safe and that you be happy and that you strive hard to keep your faith and perform well as Allah has commanded us, and we will all be successful. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And thank you again, Blog Talk Radio, for tuning in, and also Imam Muhammad for bringing us this radio program. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. May Allah bless all of you all.